We say hello now to Max Herz, who does pre- and post-game and intermissions, except for Saturday when I filled in for him. I think he had some speaking engagements or something. Max, what's up?
Yeah, I was speaking to Joe. What's the name of the Rotary Club you're in?
The Mark Driscoll Rotary Club.
Oh yeah, that was it.
it's been a good few weeks for the Predators, but let's start with the news that just came out. They have recalled defenseman Mark Delgazzo from the Milwaukee Admirals. We saw him earlier this year. Obviously, they've been bit by a bit of the injury bug when it comes to defense, with both Stastny and Fabbro out week to week. So they're able to use one of their call-ups and bring Delgazzo back to the big club.
Yeah, Delgazzo is Delbaxo, but we're not quite sure exactly why, Chase. Sorry, I had to get that in. I've been sitting on one for months. We had a lot of fun with those back in November when he made his NHL debut. But he's back. There was not an evident injury on defense in the last game. Everybody finished out the game. But maybe there was something along the way. Maybe they just want a seventh defenseman. I thought that Tyson Barry played well in that game, and his return to the lineup, he did everything you could ask him to do since he hadn't been in the game in 4 weeks. So not sure exactly why he's here, and I will say that seriously and not put a pun on it this time, but the Preds are about to practice at Centennial. I'm sitting here right now. It's an optional practice, so we probably won't know the full extent of roster stuff if somebody is hurt. But he's here. He played very, very well in his first 9 NHL games back in November for the Preds, and it's somebody they trust and it's somebody they like. And if he's playing starting tomorrow, he'll be getting in some important late season games.
Max Herz is with us. So obviously everybody's been impressed with the 14-game point streak. But I think what's really stood out to me, Max, is the number of goals that they're putting up. I believe it's 12 of the 14. They've had 4 more goals. They've only had a handful of games where they've been under that, and only 1 game where they've had scored under 3 goals, and that was a 2-1 win against Columbus. And a lot of those goals, Max, have come in the third period. So what do you attribute that to, that they're able to find that firepower, especially late in games?
Yeah, I agree with you, Chase, that may be the most impressive thing. The 2-1 win in Columbus of the 12 wins in the 12-0-2 stretch, that was the only one-goal win. All 11 of the other wins have been by 2 goals or more, and some of them were because of empty netters, which is fine because you got to hit your empty netters to win games. So those all count the same to me. But no, it's been unbelievable to see. It was the top line doing all the scoring for most of the season. Now they've got Roman Josi in with them. They've got other defensemen scoring, and they've got all 4 lines producing goals as well. So that's been the big difference. It's not like the top line has stopped producing either. So,
hey, Max, how's it going, buddy?
Hi, Joe. I just got yelled at by Sebastian Bordalo for being too nice about the team in my interview.
Oh, wow. Put him on the phone. Nobody talks to Max that way. Max, the Preds have the high and low this week. Tuesday, they face one of the worst teams in hockey in San Jose. Thursday, they play one of the best teams in the Florida Panthers. If you're Andrew Burnett, and you're not, what's the approach you take to these 2 games? Because it truly is a 180 in who you're facing.
Yeah, thank you for pointing out that I'm not the head coach of the team, first of all. I wouldn't want anybody to get confused. But no, the Sharks are awful. They are really, really bad. And during the stretch where the Preds are 12-0-2, which is really, really good, the Sharks are 1-11-2. And the Preds have already beaten the Sharks once during this streak. Sharks played well in that game, I thought. Mikael Granlund is going to be back as a visiting player for the first time tomorrow. He's the best player on their team, both in terms of points and the eye test right now. Sharks were already here at the beginning of the season, but Granlund was hurt in that game. So, you know, he's going to be motivated in his first game back since being traded away. It's a team with guys fighting for NHL spots in the future. There are a couple other Preds connections as well. I just shouted out Sebastian Bordalo, who's right here. He's an assistant coach for the Preds. He's an original Pred. His son, Thomas Bordalo, is on the Sharks and was actually a healthy scratch the first time they played here this season. So, you know, he wants to play well with his dad on the other bench. So that'll be a lot of fun. And potentially also former Preds minor league goalie Devin Cooley could be in. He made his NHL debut for the Sharks last night in their loss to the Blackhawks. So suffice to say, there are some individuals with a lot of reason to be motivated. They're 0-4 on their current road trip, which ends tomorrow. They're last in the NHL. They just lost to the second-to-last place team in the NHL. Have I convinced you that they're not very good? But I think I answered the question.
But we've seen this before where a team comes in playing awful and they're in the last game of the road trip and they beat the Preds. So if I'm Andrew, are you sneezing? What is that?
No, I'm at the hockey practice. They're shooting hockey pucks.
Yeah, all right, see if they can hit you. Hey, so if I'm Andrew Burnett tomorrow night, Max, I'm treating San Jose like they're the best hockey team has ever played. Just a simple fact of you should put this bad team away and put them away quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was the talking point going into the previous game against them, which I guess now was 3 weeks ago in San Jose. But that was the trip with the Vegas travel plan change. And the trip ended in San Jose and Anaheim back-to-back against teams at the bottom of the table after they'd beaten three teams ahead of them in the playoff standings to start the week. And that was what they were talking about. These games aren't going to be pretty. You got to grind it out. You got to find a way to sweep a back-to-back against bad teams. And they did it. Neither game was easy, but they found a way to win both. And I think this is a similar mentality because, like you guys said in the last segment, it's the first home game back after a long road trip, which is tough on the home team, especially to get going.
I know they have to take San Jose first, but this Florida game on Thursday, how big of a game is this, Max, to show how well the Nashville Predators have played, how good this team is now heading into the final 13, 14 games of the season?
Yeah, it's massive. And, I mean, we're talking about the personal connections with the Sharks. That'll be Andrew Brunette's first regular season game back in Florida as an NHL head coach, since they decided that they didn't want to remove his interim tag 2 seasons ago. So that's a money on the board game, first of all, which will be a lot of fun. You know the Preds will be motivated for that one. And, Joe, since you said that nobody cares about my bracket, I'll tell you that if I was finishing up an NHL playoff bracket right now, if the playoffs started today, I'd have the Panthers probably winning the Stanley Cup. They are incredible. They are clicking at the right time, just like the Preds are, but they've been doing it all year. They're kind of like the Preds in 2018. They were the surprise team to get to the final last year, and now this year they are hoping to win the President's Trophy, and they are every bit as good as their record would suggest.
Max Herz is with us, Predators in action tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. You mentioned Andrew Brunette, and I'll throw Roman Josi into this too. With this stretch, and I think Josi probably should have been in the discussion even before this, but are they now? Are we talking awards, at least, you know, being in the finalists category when it comes to the Jack Adams for best coach and the Norris for best defenseman?
I really hope that at least one of them will be a finalist. That's a good way to phrase the question, actually, Chase, because I hadn't thought about it that way. But I just hope people hadn't made their minds up, especially about the Norris. I think Bruno is more likely to be in the top three for Jack Adams than Josi is for Norris. Not because either is more deserving than the other, but that's just how I think the voting will go. I think Vancouver will win both of those awards. I think Quinn Hughes will win the Norris because people made that up, made their minds up on that in November, which was justified at the time because Josi was not playing well and Makar was hurt for a bit. And I mean, Adam Fox has been solid, but Quinn Hughes has been the breakout star. And I just hope people are going to look at it with fresh eyes and look at how great Josi was in crunch time to bring the team up to the level that they're at now. But I think, unfortunately, it's probably been set in all the Canadian voters' heads that Quinn Hughes will win the Norris and Rick Tocchet will win the Jack Adams. But, I think at least one of those Preds will be a finalist. I really hope so, at least. They both deserve it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Max, enjoy practice, and we'll see you tomorrow night at Bridgestone.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Joe, I'll talk to you at the insert random quarterback here rotary meeting later this week.
Mark Driscoll. They better get it right.
No, this is a different club.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
PAI?
Yes. Thank you, Max.
Thanks, Max.
Appreciate it. Bye, guys.